You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. We got a good show for you guys today. Again, I appreciate you guys bearing with me as I've been hit or miss on the last week or so. I feel like I've been sick forever, but I feel better now. I've still got a little bit of cough, but I feel better. So please, I just thank everybody for bearing with me with just the inconsistent episodes. But that will change starting today. We'll be back and hopefully every day now. I feel better. I feel like I can talk for 30 minutes without having to hack up a lung, which is great. So we got a good show for you today. We're going to talk about this Grizzlies Clippers game. Grizzlies get a win, 96-86 over the Los Angeles Clippers. That puts them at 14-9 on the season. And then the second segment of the show, we'll do our rankings update. As every week on this day, we'll look at the rankings update. As we missed Wednesday, we're going to do it on Thursday, and we're going to push our rookie update. We normally do it on Thursday to Friday, so we normally do our rankings update on Wednesday, but we're doing it on Thursday today. So we'll look at and see what the Grizzlies stack up in the different stats categories and see how that's changed from last week to this week. And then in the last segment, we'll be joined by Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. That was something we do every Thursday in the last segment. We'll talk with him about the Grizzlies and what he thinks about them and where they're at and what they need to do to improve to continue this winning season. But let's first talk about this Grizzlies Clippers matchup. The Grizzlies get a win 96-86 over the Los Angeles Clippers, something I think they was much needed for the Grizzlies. They need to stack up as many wins as they can get, especially in going into a December where they may not get a lot of them. So they got a good win here. Jaren Jackson Jr. played decent, was in foul trouble again, as we seem to talk about a lot on this game, or excuse me, a lot on this podcast. 5 for 10. From the field, 1 for 4, 6 rebounds, and only 13 points. He had a big three late down in the game, but one big thing is he had 6 fouls, which means that he actually got to play late in the game, and he actually fouled out. So kudos to J.B. Bickerstaff for letting him foul out. You know, kid's not going to learn what he doesn't need to learn. You know, he's not going to learn from mistakes he can't make. He can't make the mistakes if he's sitting on the bench. So, you know, they let him foul out, which is what we've been saying on this podcast for a while now. Just let him foul out, let him learn. They did that. He fouled out on a total BS call, a call that I just absolutely hate in the NBA, where the offensive player can kind of jump and sideways or forward a little bit, just not a normal shooting motion, and draw that defender in and get the foul call, which is, I think, it's just something that just really needs to go away from this game. It's terrible. It's I don't know how you expect defenders to play defense whenever someone is jumping sideways into them. So but Jaren Jackson Jr., at least he was in there 21 minutes tonight. Again, had a big three late in the game, so you know, he was kind of floated out to the corner three and drained a three ball late in the game, which was really good for the Grizzlies. A timely three-pointer. The only one he made all night, but very timely. Mike Conley had a big night. 9 for 16 from the field, 2 for 4 from three. 4 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. 22 points. I mean, he did everything you want him to do tonight. He did exactly what Mike Conley should do every night. Just amazing for him tonight. You know, the Grizzlies got a lot of help off the bench when they really needed it tonight. Jamaica Green, as we've talked about, the consistent role player for the Grizzlies, someone that is, you know, the best role player the Grizzlies have, was 7 for 12, you know, 0 for 4 from 3, did not shoot the third ball well, 11 rebounds, though, 2 steals, 19 points. I mean, really did everything you could ever – you really did everything you want from Jamaica Green tonight. Scored the ball well, rebounded the ball well, just did everything you really want from him. So, again, he's your best role player, and he is something we've seen is very consistent. Kyle Anderson was good tonight. You know, he had 7 points, but he puts so much more effort into this game that you can't really track. I mean, he plays so well on defense. He's everywhere on the floor. Last 3 minutes of the game, he was literally everywhere on the floor. He was closing out shots on 3-point line of defense, and also getting back enough fast enough to be able to put a hand on a rebound and to either tip it away from their player or tip it to another player, or you know, one point he just tipped it out of, you know, just smacked it out of bounds because he just didn't want anybody else to get it. So Kyle Anderson, just me, I love watching him play basketball. He does a lot of little things. You know, reminds you of Tony Allen. I mean, does a lot of things, and sometimes he's not going to score every night, but 7 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, block, 7 points. You know, he contributed on the offense a little bit, but I mean, he just does so much more on the court. I know I've talked about, you know, we'd like to see him do more on the offensive end. I'd still like to see him do more on the offensive end. I'd like to see more point guard Kyle Anderson. So hopefully, you know, they'll work him into that. Marc Gasol was just was not good. 1-for-13, 0-for-5 from 3, only 4 points. Was big, you know, down the stretch and defensively. 6 or 8 rebounds, 4 assists for him. It was big down the stretch defensively. You know, he still contributed to the game even when he wasn't scoring well. Garrett Temple wasn't good. 1-for-5 from the field, 4 points. He only had 1 3, but it was such a timely three as well. Same thing with Jaren Jackson and Garrett Temple. Both hit timely threes. Shelvin Mack, same thing. He had 7 points late in the game that was really, really big. Came up when it really mattered. Was 1-for-3. Again, that 1 3-pointer hit was... excuse me, he was 1-for-3 from the 3-point line, but that 1-3 hit was just, was really good. It was really well, it was really, really timely three. And then you have Joakim Noah, the latest signing for the Grizzlies. I probably should have led with that, but if you don't know that they've already signed him by now, I guess that's probably my fault for not doing a podcast yesterday. But the Grizzlies do make it official and do sign Joakim Noah, played tonight for this first game. You know, the guy generally looked just happy to be out there playing basketball. Generally just... He looked really excited to be scoring a basketball on an NBA team, on an NBA court. It's been a while for him. I thought he looked great. You know, I mean, I've said on this podcast many times that I didn't think it was a good signing. I didn't think they should do it. I thought they should go somewhere else. But I thought he looked good. I mean, I hope that he proves me wrong, that it's not a waste of a spot. But, you know, for tonight, and that's all we have to go off of. That's all we have to judge. He looked good. He looked like a legitimate backup center. And if the Grizzlies can get that type of production from him, you know, defensively, then they're going to have one hell of a rotation, a big rotation with Marc Gasol and Joakim Noah and Jaren Jackson Jr. Even Jamaica Green. But those three, Jaren Jackson Jr., Marc Gasol and Joakim Noah, would just be. And that is a heck of a big lineup and big rotation defensively. So he looked good tonight. Hopefully he'll continue that. We'll see how that stacks up in 15 games from now. But I do think he looked good in his first game with the Grizzlies. And someone else I've been pretty down on and hard on, Marshawn Brooks. I thought, you know, he got buckets when it mattered. Was 3-for-7 from the field, 9 points. Didn't really do anything terribly on the defensive end that you had to yank him out for, but I thought he was good. I thought he contributed well. You know, this team, you know, even when Marc Gasol did not play well at all, you know, he played well on the defensive end, but not score the basketball, still was able to win this game, and it's because of their defense. I believe this is the first time the Clippers were held to under 90 points all season long, and only the second time they were held under 100 points this year. So, I mean, the Grizzlies, if their offense is going to continue like it is, which so far throughout the season, it seems that way. It seems like the offense is going to be what it is. If that's going to continue like that has been throughout the season, the defense is going to have to be elite. I mean, it will have to be elite, and that's what it was tonight. It was an elite defense tonight, holding the Clippers to 86 points and really largely taking most of their people out of it. You know, Gallinari was the only starter really that really did damage with 17 points. So if they're able to have an elite defense and Mark and Mike are able to play like, you know, play like they're supposed to, and you get contributions here and there from other role players, you're going to win some games. And that's what we saw a couple weeks ago. They were playing elite defense, and Mark and Mike Ross are playing well, and they were getting contributions here and there from their other players. It may not have been the same player every night, but their idea of this third scorer as the team, as the rest of the team besides Mark and Mike as their third scorer, It works, but it only works when your defense is elite. And so that's what you saw tonight. Their defense was really, really good against the Clippers. Again, they get a much needed win that they, you know, this December is not easy, as we've talked about on this podcast. So they get a much needed win for this team, move to 14-9 on the season, 8-3 at home, and have played the rest of the West really, really well. So we'll see how that holds up as they go to on the road Friday to the Pelicans and see how they play against the Pelicans they haven't played yet this season. We'll see how they match up there. Coming up in the next segment again, we're going to do a rankings update that we were supposed to do on Wednesday, but we're doing it on Thursday today instead. And in that last segment, we're going to talk to Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the show. Again, in that third segment, we're going to talk to Joe Mullenix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, so make sure you stick around for that. It's a good conversation. We talk a little bit about Joakim Noah, Jamaka Green, Jaren Jackson Jr. His opinion is pretty insightful on some of the questions asked. So make sure you stick around for that. It was a good conversation. But first, let's do our rankings update. Let's take a look at the rankings that we have this week, and we'll compare to last week and see how the Grizzlies have moved up or down or done nothing. And it's been hasn't been a big change from that, to be quite honest, from last week to this week. This week they're averaging 104.4 points per game, which is 27th. That's actually gone up three spots from 30th last week. So they're actually scoring the ball a little bit better than they have last week over the last week than when we last checked in last Wednesday. Rebounds, they're still same. They were at 39.3 last week, which is 30th in the NBA. They're at 39.3 this week, which is 30th in the NBA. Assists per game, it's 23.7 this week, which is 17th. Last week, they were actually 23.8, which is good for 13th. That 0.7 or 8 actually shifts them down quite a few spots. So last week, again, the 13th, now they're 17th this week. Blocks per game, 6.0 right now, the exact same that they had last week, but actually moves them up one spot. Even though their blocks per game have not changed, they're now 6th in the NBA. Last week, they were 7th. They're averaging 6 blocks per game. Steals per game, 8.9 this week, which is good for 5th in the NBA. That's actually down one spot. Last week, they had an average of 9 steals, which was 4th. Again, a tenth of a point. Really, just them down one spot. Don't think it's a big deal. They're still playing really good defense and creating, forcing turnovers with steals, something that they've been doing well all season. And the numbers reflect that, sitting at 5th in the NBA when steals. Field goal percentage, 45.7. That's good for 17th. That's just down two spots, even though last week they were 45.6, good for 15th. This week they're 45.7, good for 17th. Three-pointers made on the season, that's just a total amount of three-pointers they've made this year. It's 233, which is good for 24th in the NBA. Last week they were 24th as well. So no change there. Three-point percentage, this is the percentage clip is which they make threes, 36.9 this week, which is good for 6th in the NBA, and that's actually the same as it last week. Last week was 36.6, so that's actually moved up a little bit, almost to 37%, but they are the same rank in the NBA, which is 6th, but they're still slowly moving up and getting better as far as that percentage is concerned. Free throw percentage, 75.8. That's good for 17th. Last week they were 18th, so they move up one spot there. That's something they really, really have to get better at is shooting free throws. 17th in the NBA is not great. Something that you would really try to increase. Offensive rating for this week, 105.8, which is good for 25th in the NBA. That's down two spots. Last week their offensive rating was 106.5, which was good for 23rd. Now they are 25th this week. Defensive rating, 103.9, which is good for 4th in the NBA. Last week, they would come in at 5th, so they move up one spot from last week to this week. Fast break points, 11.3, which is good for 23rd. That's up two spots last week. Last week, they were 25th. Now they're 23rd in that fast break points category. Last week, they averaged 10.8. This week, they are at 11.3. Second chance points, 9.6, and then that is good for 30th. That is exactly what they were last week. Actually, they went up on the number, but they ranked the same. Last week they had 9.2. This week they have 9.6. But they're still 30th in the NBA, which makes sense when you're 30th in the NBA in rebounding. You're probably going to be last in second chance points. Deflections, 15.1, which is good for fifth in the NBA. That's up one spot from last week. Last week they were sixth, now they are fifth. And then lastly, loose balls recovered. This is kind of a hustle stat. That's good for, they're 9.4 right now, which is good for eighth. That's actually down two spots. Last week they were sixth. This week they are eighth. So that's it for our rankings update. You kind of give an idea of the Grizzlies, kind of where they're going and where they're, where the numbers, what the numbers are saying, what they're doing well and what they need to improve on. A lot of that stuff is, you know, kind of what we see with our eyes. They're not a good rebounding team, so they have to, you know, those are some things they have to work on. But the stats, you know, usually bear out what we see, but sometimes there's always one things here and there that are surprising, but we like that. I like to take a look at and see how that trends throughout the season. Again, make sure you stay tuned after the break. We're going to talk with Joe Monix, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues, and get his thoughts on the Grizzlies.
Welcome back to the show. Again, I just want to say thanks to Joe Monix, again, doing his weekly spot on the show. I appreciate you coming by. How's it going today? How's it going this week, man?
It's going well, buddy. I continue to slow down one part of my life and accelerate the other. GBB doing big things. We've got you, obviously, covering the team for us and some other guys expanding their roles. So it's a good time to be a GBBer, man. And I'm excited to get back into the grind of it more as winter fully picks up and I can, you know, leave my day job at the day job a little bit.
Yeah, it's an exciting transition to go from to be able to do more stuff, and we have a lot of stuff going on at Grizzly Bear Blues. But I do want to get right into basketball with you. The Grizzlies officially signed Joakim Noah. He actually played in, well, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so he played in the game tonight against the Clippers. I guess two things. What are your thoughts of Noah tonight, just on what he played in tonight against the Clippers? And then second, what do you think his role will be going forward?
To be honest with you, I thought he was the best center on the Grizzlies tonight. And Mark obviously had some real issues scoring the ball. And that's not entirely fair to Mark because he did some really good things defensively. But Joakim Noah looked legit. You know, I wrote an article, you know, a week and a half or so ago for the blog about, you know, the logical insanity of Joakim Noah, because on one hand, everything tells you that Joakim Noah is going to struggle. He's no good anymore. He's washed up. Can't be what he was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago when he, you know, when he and Mark were really the two best centers in the NBA. But I think that there's a role for him on this team in a 13-16 minute a night. Go in there, crash the boards, play sound defense, take open jumpers when you get them, and he made one tonight. The ability of him to understand defensive rotations, he's very cerebral, much like Mark. He understands movement. He has his lateral quickness looks a little bit better than it did in New York. Maybe he's just motivated, inspired to try to earn another decent NBA contract beyond this year in Memphis. He looks, you know, engaged, and I think that an engaged Joakim Noah as your backup center, you can do worse. Now, is that going to be sustainable? I don't know. And I think Grizzlies fans and everybody kind of has to keep that perspective of it being one game. Call me, you know, in a month or so as we visit, see how he's done with he has 13, 15 games under his belt. It does allow for Ivan Rabb to play more at the Memphis Hustle. And I think that's a good working spot for him. Obviously, the coaching staff isn't ready to give him meaningful minutes with the main club, and I think that he needs to get some playing time. So that'll allow him to be with the Hustle more. It'll allow for Omri Caspi and other guys like that to play those minutes at the four a little bit more. Kyle Anderson as well, depending on the matchup. So I think that's good. It also makes for Jamichael Green to be able to play more naturally at the four and not have to do anything at the five in a small ball lineup as much. And Jamichael had a great game tonight. Now, how much was that connected to Joakim Noah? Probably not all that much, but I do think that you have to acknowledge that Noah arriving, at least in the terms of traditional basketball, and I'm sure our own Parker Fleming is listening to this and rolling over, in terms of having a true backup center that allows for you to do some things and also even, you know, trot out some twin power lineups. There was a time where Gasol and Noah were out there together. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I was when I wrote that article a week and a half or so ago, when the rumors first started about Joakim Noah coming to Memphis. And after seeing him live, I continue to be cautiously optimistic. I think it could be a good pickup for them that really has no risk. If it doesn't work out, you let him go and you find somebody else to fill that spot for the season.
Yeah, I spoke about Joakim Noah signing, and I wasn't a fan of the signing, and I made that pretty clear. But he's here now, and so you can only really hope for the best. And from what I saw against the Clippers, again, like you said, he looked legit. I mean, he looked genuinely happy to be out there playing basketball.
Absolutely.
Is what I took away from it. He looked genuinely just excited to be scoring baskets in an NBA game, which is, you can't help to be happy for that guy. So,
and I think that when it comes to being endeared to Memphis, because Hamed Adati is kind of somebody who pops into my mind thinking about Joakim Noah right now. As long as you're genuine and Grizzlies fans can tell that you're playing your tail off, they're going to fall in love with Joakim Noah. So if he can maintain what he did tonight, I mean, you heard it at the forum a little bit just through the TV broadcast. There was almost a standing ovation when Noah came off the floor in the second half. There was a real change in energy when he came in, and that's a testament to him, and hopefully he's able to maintain that.
Yeah, the city of Memphis, I mean, they love playing good defense more sometimes, I think, than they love scoring the basketball. It's amazing that city loves to see that. And like you said, if he continues to play like he did tonight against the Clippers, and if he continues to play hard, and even if sometimes if you're not playing well, if you're just going as hard as you can, the city of Memphis will embrace you and love that about you. So, again, like I said, here's the hoping that this continues. And like you said, we'll see in 15 and, 15, 16 games from now what that looks like. It remains to be seen. But hopefully he can, put more pressure on bigger centers in the in other opposing teams when they have those come through. And it'll give the Grizzlies an extra big. And, if that happens, they'll have a really, really good 1-2-3 bigs with Joakim Noah, Marcus Saul, and Jaren Jackson. It will be really impressive. You mentioned Jermichael Green, and he was another one of the players just really, really good tonight. For me, is the best role player on this Grizzlies team. Is consistent, continues to give this team what they need. For some reason, I always see that he's always thrown in a trade, and I know why, because he makes quite a bit of money. He's an expiring contract. But do you think that the Grizzlies should include him in any trade? Or personally, for me, I would try not to as much as possible. I think keeping Jermichael Green is better for this team than trading away if they go out and start to try to look for a wing player.
Well, you have to keep the perspective and understanding that Jermichael Green's probably not going to be on this roster next year unless they find a way to get some money for him. It's all about trying to turn it into an asset. Do you let him walk for nothing if you think he's going to walk, or do you try to get something in return? I think they'd be foolish to not listen to offers. Anybody that's an expiring contract, aside from Mark with his player option, I guess, but even like a Wayne Selden, if you can get something for those guys, we talked about on the show last week, my perspective is still hang around 500, convey the pick. That to me would be a successful season, and they look to be well on their way towards that goal, at least my goal for them. So if you can take Jermichael Green and Garrett Temple and turn it into Tim Hardaway Jr. or Evan Fournier or Kent Bazemore or somebody like that, I'm not saying those trades are likely, but those are just names that would make Memphis better. And like I said, you have Omri Caspi, you have Kyle Anderson, you have Joakim Noah in the fold. You could find a way to get Ivan Rabb some minutes in an emergency role if you needed a true traditional quote-unquote four. I don't think Jermichael Green is completely, untouchable. It has to be the right deal. You don't just trade him to free up cap space. I don't think you trade him for a 2022 congressional second-round pick. It has to be worth the squeeze, so to speak. It has to be something that makes the Grizzlies that much better on the perimeter. It depends on how likely you think that is with a package of Garrett Temple, Jermichael Green, and a second-round draft choice. If you don't think that's very likely, then, of course, I would agree with you that Jermichael Green stays on the team. He clearly gives a great bit of energy off the bench. And in fairness to Jermichael, we've talked about all along, the perfect role for him, once he settles, is probably a big off the bench on a good team. And right now, the Grizzlies are a good team. And right now he's coming off the bench, and he's thriving. I think this is something that's sustainable for him. Not maybe 19 and 11, but him being an impact player as a reserve on a good team, that's him as an NBA player. And there's obviously plenty of room for guys like that. So Jason Miller makes him a little bit more expendable if he is able to play. I think, again, you need more, a much larger sample size to make that determination. But there's no doubt that, you know, Jermichael Green, as a reserve, playing the way that he's playing right now, it makes the Grizzlies that much more dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, it has to be – you have to look at the value of Jermichael Green. Is he – does he bring more – like you said, every trade is different. Every scenario is different. Obviously, if you have a chance to go out and get Evan Fournier, you go do that. You give away Jermichael Green for that, period, end of story. I don't think there's a whole lot of question there. But, you know, those lower-level deals, what the Grizzlies seem to do, you have to look at your value there. Is he more valuable to you as a role player, you know, scoring 10, 13 points a guy and getting 8, 9 rebounds a night versus whatever you're going to get back in return, like you said, or just let him play out, convey the pick, and have a considered successful season. So you're right. It is a scenario-based value. But for me, you know, he is one of the most consistent people for the someone they can just count on, and they know what they're going to get. And that's largely the problem with the Grizzlies on the bench unit. You just never really know what you're going to get. I do want to talk about Jaren Jackson a little bit. Jaren Jackson ended up fouling out tonight, but he at least was allowed to foul out. And I've been saying that for everybody's been saying that. Just let the kid play. You're not going to figure out, you know, what you don't know until you don't know it. Thoughts on letting him play? You know, I think it wasn't late in the game, but at least let him get out there with 5 fouls, something we've never seen before.
Well, I heard you, as I listened to the show, talk about the frustrations with not letting him foul out and make those mistakes. And I do think we need to preface it with saying the officiating was pretty bad tonight, as it usually is when those particular refs are involved, one in particular. But it really is a situation with Jaren that you got to let the guy walk and you got to let him fall and you got to let him pop up and try to learn. You know, it's like, and you and I obviously both have families. I'm sure some of those listening have small children. You know, they're going to fall down sometimes. You know what I mean? And Jaren is essentially an NBA toddler. But if the toddler was 6'11" and had freakish length and understanding of defensive rotations, that's what he is. And as he tries to find his footing and figure out what he is as a player at this stage of his career, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to make dumb fouls. He's going to make poor choices with the basketball. And Memphis has to let him make those mistakes. If you're not going to let him fall and understand why he fell and how to get back up after you fall, then you're stunting his progression. You're stunting his development. It's, like I said, it's the same thing with raising a child. You have to let him kind of find his place and learn from the mistakes that he's making. If you save him from himself, you're really not saving him down the road. You're just prolonging that growth. And Memphis needs him to grow up pretty quickly. So I'm with you. I'm glad they let him foul out. He'll learn from it, and he will be better for it, you know, both in the near term and in the long term. And I think that perspective has to be kept. You're thinking long term with Jaren, just as you much are thinking now. You know, he's the one guy on this team that you can look down the road 5 years from now and say, yep, he's going to be on the squad. Because of that, it has to be a long-term and short-term macro and micro view of what he does for Memphis in terms of his development.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you have to let him be out there and just learn. You know, every situation is different, even if it's a situation where, like you said tonight, you know, just not really good officiating on that last foul that he fouled out on, but you have to just take it and move on. So again, Joe Molnix, Grizzly Bear Blues site manager, I appreciate you joining me this week. Again, as always, man, we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, buddy.
Again, I just want to thank Joe Molnix for coming on the show again. As always, we have him in the last segment of the of our Thursday show every week. It's always good to have him on. He's very insightful. Really, really fun to talk to. Again, make sure you follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz. Make sure you follow me at King_producer on Twitter. If you'd like to be a feature sponsor on this show, please email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts, or online at LockedOnGrizzlies.com.